Hello, ghouls and ghoulettes, and welcome to the Gospel of Ghost, the podcast that aims to bring the lore and narrative of Ghost to the forefront of their music. My name is Niall, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, a returning guest. His name is Stephen. I'm never going to get it right. Stephen. There we go.
Pretty close to home. Thank you, Niall. Thank you for having me back.
Not a problem. Anyway, Stephen, how's it been since the last time you've been on? Have you been keeping well?
Yes, I have. I've been keeping safe, staying distant. Not had the COVID yet, so that's good. Touch wood.
And Stephen, for listeners here unaware, lives in Norway. So a COVID situation in Norway, pretty lax. And I can only imagine that's because the COVID has frozen in the snow over the winter times. And over the summertime, it's just going to all come out like a prehistoric illness and decimate the world.
That's our secret, yeah. It's been very hot here now for a couple of weeks, so I'm a bit scared and worried.
I swear to God, if it starts picking up, I called it.
I'll give you a prize for that if that actually happens now.
Sweet.
I'm a bit worried.
I don't want a prize for dooming the entire of Norway, okay? It's not something I want. But as far as ghost-related things go, not a lot to talk about, because not a lot has happened.
There's actually one thing I remember. You were also quite hyped about it on Instagram. Was it that teased ghost song, that Halloween thing?
Oh yeah, Hunter's Moon, yeah.
How
wrong we all were.
Oh damn, that never happened, did it?
How wrong we all were. Though to be fair, apparently the new album... there has been rumors that the new album is going to be coming out around Halloween, so maybe we will get it around on that album, on whatever it's called.
It's been too long now. I feel it. It's been too long.
All right, it's been too long. You don't want the new Ghost album. That's it. They're done.
I have notifications on Ghost on Facebook, just to know. So I keep up to speed with everything that's happening.
Yeah.
And for a year now, every time it's a notification, it's just a merch thing.
It's fantastic. They did one bit of communication with the fans, didn't they? They put out something earlier this year saying about how much they miss the fans and stuff. But apart from that, it's just been constant merch of Papa 4, who we haven't been able to see yet.
We had that one performance in Sweden with
the helicopters. I was going to bring that up. You watched it. Because I knew you watched it. Did you enjoy it? Was it a good cover for you?
Yeah, I thought so. I actually didn't know beforehand that it was a Rolling Stones song. I couldn't remember it, but the cover was really good.
It was fantastic. Honestly, I'm not a massive Rolling Stones fan. I like some of their songs, but I honestly would say I prefer that version to the original, which in some listeners' cases may have just, made them turn the episode off. Because it's an iconic song, but that's just my take on it. Plus, I like the lining of his jacket that said "fuck you" on it.
Yeah, I was like, "Is this his new outfit?" And I don't think so.
I don't think it's going to be a full time outfit, but I would be down for it if it was. Papa, if you're listening, please keep that for at least some of the show.
Yes.
Because he used to change whenever he became cardinal, he used to change outfits in the middle of the show.
Yeah.
So I'd be down for that, if he could change into that halfway through the show or whatever.
Yeah, but have the print on the outside so all around the jacket would just say "fuck you." Go to hell or something.
That would be fucking iconic. That would be iconic. But not a lot ghost-wise to talk about. So shall we just jump straight into the episode?
Let's do it.
Fantastic. Ready. So, Stephen, I'm never going to get this right.
I will add that to my Instagram now, /Stephen.
Stephen.
Can I just say it in Norwegian? Stephen.
Stephen is joining us today for Majesty. I do want to talk a little bit about Majesty, because you requested three songs, but this was your number one pick. So why did you pick this song? What made you identify with it?
I don't know. At the time when you asked, I was listening to it a lot, and I remember when Melior came out in 2015 and I listened through the album. That was also one of the highlights, because it's a really good song. Not talking about the lyrics, but the craft of the production as well. It's a really good song. The synth, churchy synth in the song is really, really good. And it just came to me at that moment when I was looking through the songs. And it has to be said, I also picked it because I didn't want to pick one of the popular songs, because I guess that was what most people would request.
What do you think the most popular song request was, out of curiosity?
I believe it was Oh, it's difficult. I'm looking at the songs now. He's maybe?
No, incorrect. No.
Oh.
No, it wasn't. You knew it wasn't his, and you knew it wasn't Pinnacle.
Yeah,
because that we've already discussed that before we went on air.
Was it Cerise though?
It was Cerise.
Okay.
It was Cerise. Yes.
That was my. That was going to be my second guess.
No. It was Cerise. I think that was. I kind of expected that. It is. In my opinion, it is their most well-known song.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And one of their most popular songs still within the fandom, just for how fucking awesome it is. But no, I had quite a few requests of Cerise, which I had to turn down because my darling sister had it claimed already from the previous season.
I see.
So, yeah. Well, I'm glad you've chosen to do Majesty with us today. Shall we get in with the lyrics?
If I may, before we do that, can I come... I've written down some fun facts.
Of course, I love fun
facts. If that's okay.
Yeah, go for it.
So, to this day, Majesty has been played a total of 102 times by Ghost since its debut. It debuted on the 3rd of June 2015 at the Doom Nights Club in Linköping, Sweden. That's the hometown of Ghost. This was also the Insurrection concert for Papa 3 and the Meliora Era. That was their first time. So if I remember correctly, they played Pinnacle, Majesty, Absolution, Cerise, I believe. Like they played before the album even came out because it came out in like August.
Mm-hmm.
Last performance so far was on the 23rd of February 2019 in Stockholm, Sweden, as a part of the A Pale Tour named Death.
Mm-hmm.
In 2015, it was played 52 times in support of the Black to the Future tour.
I love that name.
Yeah, it's really good. It was only played twice in 2016 and was retired before a Star of the Pope Star tour, which just was in autumn of 2016.
Yeah.
It made its comeback on the set list in 2018 during the first leg of the A Pale Tour named Death in US. A bonus fun fact on that, on the same show where Majesty made its comeback, Idolatry made its live debut.
Oh, nice.
Which, for those who don't know, was the episode which I featured on
It was indeed.
So that's fun. It was played 37 times in 2018 and 11 times in 2019. And it has been covered twice by a band called The Raven.
The Raven? Interesting. I'm going to have to go check that out now and see how... Did you listen to it before the show?
No, I couldn't find anything. It was difficult to find because it's very vague, the name The Raven.
Yeah. I'm going to YouTube it after the show. I'll try and find it for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Appreciate it. Would you like a full-time research job?
Yeah, go ahead. I'll be happy.
Even I couldn't pay myself full time on this.
To say that is these facts are courtesy of Setlist FM.
Thank you very much, Setlist FM. One of my favorite sites to use before I go to a gig so I can research exactly what's going. I'm one of those people before I go to a gig. I like to know exactly what the band's gonna play. So I go onto Setlist FM and hope that they've had a show on the same tour prior to the tour that they're on. Just so I can familiarize myself with the lyrics and pick out the best bathroom time. Etc.
See, I use Setlist FM quite vividly, but I'm the complete opposite. I stay away from it.
Oh, you're going to be surprised at the show.
Oh yeah, that's been some of the funnest things I've been doing the last couple of years. It's like staying away from Setlist, staying away from live videos. I saw Ghost twice in 2018 at the European leg of the A Pale Tour named Death.
Mm-hmm.
And like the year prior, because they're starting playing in the US to support the album release. Is that correct? No, it was in 2019. Actually, yeah. That would make more sense because
it came out in 2019. Yeah, I was at that tour as well, so yeah.
Yeah. No, so all up until that point, I'd stayed away, so I knew nothing of the set, nothing of which songs were played, which songs wasn't played, how long the show was, and I was so, this concert has a 15-minute intermission. That's interesting.
What? Why did your concert have an intermission? What the hell?
Because it was a stadium. They only play like huge stadiums and arenas in Europe.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
They had like a 60-minute act, and then it was a break, and then another 90 minutes after that. So it was like almost 3 hours long. The whole thing.
And that was that kind of all been Ghost playing, surely.
Yeah.
Really? They played for 3 hours?
No, with the break in between. And that should also be said, people who have been to that show or that concert know that when they did If You Have Ghosts, that when they played that alone, it was like 15 minutes. Because in the middle...
Yeah, they do the introduction and talking and stuff. Yeah, they did that as well for us.
That was really long. So, of course, that also stretched out. But the set was also huge. It was like 23 or 24 songs.
Jesus. Yeah, I don't even think St. Albert Hall, or sorry, the Royal Albert Hall, had that many songs. I'm going to have to look that up. Because I did, like, maybe time flies when you're having fun, but, like, I thought that was supposed to be, like, one of their longer sets because it was, like, a special one-off tour show.
The funny thing is that I didn't expect at all that they would play Majesty. Not at all. That was a really surprise, actually, in the set. And also songs like Death Knell. No, it wasn't Death Knell.
I was going to say, they have. I'm fairly certain they haven't played Death Knell, like, since their first tour.
It was Satan Prayer.
Yeah. I remember that coming back as well, yeah.
Yeah, that surprised me as well. So, but it was a real surprise, because then I never knew what song was next. And being the nerd I am, I know all the lyrics, and it was just... it was a fun time, actually, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, two different kinds of people, I suppose, you know. For ghost gigs, I don't need to do it, because I know all the lyrics. Well, most of the time anyway. But for other things, other bands and stuff, I will do it just so I can brush up on it and have fun.
Yeah, I totally get that as well.
So let's start off in the song, okay?
Yes.
So, a higher power underground, from seraph skies and now to chaos bound. He is sitting sacred and profound, in midst of sinners looking up to kiss his crown. Would you like to start us off?
Yes, I would be happy to. So, Satan is here being described by the narrator. Would it be correct to say that?
Yeah.
This has been told by a narrator.
Mm-hmm.
He is being described as a greater in power and might as God, being a higher power underground, the bigger and better person, almost like a salty remark, you know, of the higher power being underground, and at the same time diminishing God to a deity below Satan. Seraph, yes, thank you.
That's it.
Described in Jewish, Christian, and Islamic literature as a celestial being, variously described as having two or three pairs of wings and serving as a throne guardian of God. Mm-hmm. So it's basically the highest rank, if you will, you can have as an angel, because it's a variation of an angel. So that line tells the story of Satan's fall from the seraph filled skies and down to hell. Chaos bound means, you know, chaos restricted to hell. Satan being a fallen angel as well, as I do believe we get into later as well.
Yeah, for those lines, we have very similar things. There's not a lot of interpretation to be going on, especially for the second line, but I do agree that a higher power underground, what I have here is, it's basically just a self-explanatory lyric. Satan, having now dethroned God, is the higher power of the world, with people looking up to him in adoration. However, as you pointed out, he is quite clearly, you know, coming from the position of hell. So basically it is just a big lyrical fuck you to God, essentially. So, and that we're in agreement on. The seraph skies and chaos bound, I have a little dual meaning for. Firstly, as you pointed out, it refers to Satan himself. Seraph, as you said, is actually a rank of angel. And depending on which religion you follow, it can mean different things. Because you said a seraph was the highest rank of angel, am I correct?
That was my interpretation of it.
No,
I can be wrong.
No, it is correct in Christianity, but in Judaism, it is actually the fifth rank.
Oh, okay.
So there's a bit of a difference there, but regardless, the point is still the same. So in this line, it is describing Lucifer's fall from the highest rank of angel to the pits and chaos of hell. However, you could also say it's an allegory for the population of the world who were once basking in the seraph sky and light of God and now chaos bound on their path to satanic worship. So it both encapsulates the previous story of Satan, like the story of how he came to be, and the story of, basically, humanity's story is now mirroring the story of Satan, just in a less powerful way. Like, they haven't fallen angels, but they've fallen from the favor of God into the hands of hell.
Mm.
Yeah, would you say that's an agreeing statement?
I would. You could almost say he had fallen from the pinnacle to the pit, if you would.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry, I regret saying that now. That was so cheesy.
No, look, that's exactly what that song meant. So it was cheesy, though. I'll give you that.
Thank you.
What about he is sitting sacred and profound in midst of sinners licking up to kiss his, or looking or licking up to kiss his crown?
Yes, sacred in my research, meaning someone or something being worthy of religious honoring and someone being entitled to reverence and respect. Someone being sacred or something being sacred. Profound is described as having... I had a hard time actually with profound, but some of the definitions I found sort of fitted. So profound is described as having intellectual... Goddamn.
Intellectual.
Thank you. Depth and insight. So it could also mean coming from a situation situated at a depth. So him sitting sacred and profound being he's sitting here in his... He has earned the right to, you know, be worthy of the religious honoring, and profound could also mean he's very intellectual, and could also be that he's situated at a depth, you know, in the fall into hell. But
yeah,
he's not in hell anymore, though. He's, you know, but yeah.
No, that's sort of what's been happening throughout the entire season, is that if Satan didn't start on Earth, if he didn't start as the ruler of Earth, which I think he did, but obviously some of my past guests have disagreed, this is definitely the song that he establishes himself as the king of man. This is even if you had any doubt beforehand, this is the song that says that. Whether you think he's literally come to Earth... That is open for interpretation and debate, but yeah, I would agree with pretty much everything you've just said, especially the meaning of profound. I'm actually quite sad you took that.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm joking. But yeah, I'll just paraphrase for what I had then. And here we have proof, if we did not before, that Satan is definitely the reigning deity of the world and king of man. Whether it's a statue that people are worshipping or the actual being himself, the masses are fawning over him and trying to touch what they perceive as the pinnacle of his being, which is the crown. That's the pinnacle of the pinnacle of a king's being would, of course, be the crown, right?
I had a bit on that, you know, because kiss his crown, I had a thought of it would be the same, you know, as kissing the ring, you know, to do with royalty, because the song is obviously called Majesty. There's a royal, highest leader sort of vibe, especially with that title. Funny thing is, though, I tried to Google if there was like something with kissing the crown, if that was sort of a term and somehow, but the only thing that came up was a Vogue article, which is called "Why Isn't There More Sex on the Crown?" A deeply scientific investigation. So, I don't think that's it.
I haven't watched The Crown, but isn't that about the British monarchy?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, you need to send me that article. I need to read it.
I will.
Thank you. I mean, like, isn't... crap. Who was it that played the young queen in that series? She was in Doctor Who.
Yeah, you're... Oh, Olivia Colman? I don't remember.
No, I don't think it is. But regardless, the person I'm talking about, she is attractive as hell. So I'm kind of with them on this point, but at the same time, I don't really want to imagine the Queen of England getting dirty. Though apparently,
that's the thing, though.
Apparently, in all accounts, back in the day, she was a stunner, or considered a stunner for her day. So, you know.
We must not forget she does have children, so something has happened there along the way.
Well, I mean, yeah, obviously.
unless the god came down on a...
Oh, you think she gave a virgin birth like Mary did?
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe. No, I've seen her sons. No, she hasn't.
Jesus, yeah.
No, well, some of them are... If they are, then God has a lot to answer for. Like, why did you breed potential sex offenders? But let's not move on. Let's not get into that.
We'll give him a call after this. Give him a stern talking to, yeah.
Ask what he ordered in Pizza Express. You probably won't get that, but... A lot of people in Britain will.
What type of pizza do you think God would like?
What type of pizza do you think God would like?
Yeah. We go for like a meatball heaven or something.
If God was truly, what do you call that word? Benevolent. If he was truly benevolent and didn't wish harm upon any creature, you know, he would definitely not eat meat. Let's put it that way. I'm not a vegetarian, by the way. Not saying that it's, you know, wrong or whatever. Ecological factors, it probably is better to be a vegetarian. I'm just weak. But what I'm saying is that he would probably not eat meat. But considering he also created all the plants, can he eat plant?
It's a very good point.
You know, we have to do it to sustain ourselves, but if he's just eating a pizza for the funsies, then I think a good dose of air pizza is probably what he's trying to enjoy the most.
And a glass of water,
There's probably microorganisms in that water.
Oh, God, Okay, just some, air pizza and that's it. Yeah. To go.
So he's just gonna like, breathe in really deeply.
And there we go, That's it for today.
People are going to be listening to this episode and be like, what the fuck was that? But no, I think if God would be a vegetarian/vegan, for sure. I would hope so anyway. But at the same time, God, you know, and this is where all my Christian listeners who listen to the show just because they like ghost tune out, ironically, this is where they tune out. But if God really was benevolent, then he probably wouldn't kill children and cause natural disasters. So fuck you, God.
Yep. That's the next slogan for the third season.
That's the next gospel.
Welcome to the Gospel of Ghost. Fuck you, God. Can I get that on the mug, by the way?
Yeah, sure. I'll release a new piece of merch that says fuck you, God, on it. That would probably sell a lot. Like, just ironically. It wouldn't even be related to the show. Oh, people would just buy that.
Yep.
I have nothing more to add on these lines, so shall we move on?
Yeah, let's do it.
Fantastic. Okay, so pathetic humans in despair, defaced, deflowered, and now to death devout, a fallen angel in his glare, in midst of sinners kneeling down before his clout. So I'll start off with the first bit and you can pipe in after devout. So in my opinion, this is where we see the first inkling that humanity has begun to realize that Satan's rule isn't exactly what they thought it would be. Gone is the happiness that was promised by Papa, you know, promised by the Antichrist, promised by even Satan himself. Instead, it's replaced by nothing but insults and despair at their current situation. Defaced and deflowered are two descriptions of what the clergy and, by extension, Satan have done to the world. Defaced is defined as to mar the surface or appearance of, / disfigure, which is exactly what has happened, not necessarily to the population's appearance, but to their souls. Twisted beyond recognition that once they were devoted to God, they are now devotees to Satan. And deflowered obviously has, it has very sexual connotations in the way that we use it in common lexicon today. However, that's not its only meaning. So it means to despoil of beauty, freshness, sanctity, etc. Which, again, is exactly what has happened to the population. Sanctity is defined as holiness, saintliness, or godliness. So by deflowering the population, Satan has destroyed any godliness that might have existed under God's rule. What do you think of that, and what are your takes on those lines?
That is really, really well analysis, I do believe. That was...
Why, thank you.
Depth analysis than what I could come to. But I can add to that, you know, the flower part is really well described. Because if you think about it as well, Melior, I do believe that the setting of Meliora is many, many years after the events of Infosysimum. And if you just look at the artwork itself, it's like it's this huge town. It's industrial and it's dark colors and murky. And, you know, because, as you said, I believe that Satan wanted to take over the world, but, you know, he didn't want to bring the humans as well, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, he just wanted somewhere else to rule without the new old population being an issue.
Yeah, or he sees that when he took over, it's like, but these guys are useless and
humans suck.
Just weak and nothing to bring to the table. So, and we come back to that later as well with another part of the lyrics. But yeah, I agree with what you said, and I don't have that much to add because I had a struggle a bit with, you know, death devout and stuff like that. So,
Oh, fantastic, fantastic. Do you want to take the next few lines? Fallen angel in his glare, etc., etc.
Yes, fallen angel in his glare. Satan was a fallen angel. He was cast out of the heavens. A fallen angel is an angel who are expelled from heaven. They were identified with angels who were led by Satan in rebellion against God. So that is why they were cast out. In midst of sinners leaning down before his cloud. It's sort of the same as before. Sinners bowing down before Satan and showing their loyalty to him and wanting him as their leader as well.
Mm.
It's a bit like the line comes later, I believe. Yeah, the flocking up like soulless sheep.
Mm.
You know, mankind being without a leader, without God, being like, don't know totally what to do and just, you know, run around and stuff like that as well. I wrote this in when I wrote about what I thought the song was about. It's a bit like I tried to explain as the French Revolution. You know, after the king was captured and put in prison without, you know, like a clear leader, it was just chaos and fear.
Mm.
If I remember my history correct, people blind and without, you know, direction, clogging up and sticking to looking for someone to lead them as well. And that would be Satan and him being like, well, okay, but maybe I don't want these.
Okay, people. But I'm kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. I don't want you here. Take care of the earth. I'm not going to do that.
That's fair. That's fair. You said kneeling down, bowing down in front of Satan because they want to. Do you think that they want to? Or do you think they just don't have any other choice at this point?
I do believe it's a bit of both, but yes, seeing this is the only way, you know, the only solution. It's two evils, really, up against
the lesser of two evils. Yeah, I can agree on that. What I have down is the lines that we're discussing follow the same narrative of despair and trickery that I was talking about before. No longer is Satan lying or pretending to be friendly, like you referenced. He's sort of just given up on that. Instead, he's glaring at the population for lack of the better word, for their stupidity. And knowing they can't do anything to return to God's side, and that, you know, kneeling down before his cloud or bowing down before his cloud, that he is bending them literally or figuratively to his will, his cloud, his power. That's what that means. So yeah, I think in this sort of discussion, you're more on the side that the population have chosen this, whereas I think that Satan has kind of just forced this upon everybody, and now they're all miserable.
Yeah, but I do believe that they chose that because there wasn't any other good alternative as well. So they were kind of forced to take that choice.
It's a very valid interpretation. And maybe I'll come around to see your point of view as the song goes on. So with that said, shall we move on to the next few lines? Because I'm all out there.
The chorus, yes?
Yeah, the chorus. Old one, master, all beauty lies within you. And that's repeated again. Not a lot to go on there.
No.
Not a lot to go on. So what I've said, and maybe you'll agree on this. For me, this song, these lines in particular, don't have a lot of deeper meaning. Because obviously, old one master, that's obviously referencing Satan. But this is just the population repeating these lines like a sermon, for example. Whether they're doing it out of true loyalty or not, or fear of punishment or hope of mercy, I don't, as I said, as we're discussing, it's unclear to me, but my guess is that it would be to avoid the fear of punishment, the hope of mercy. Mm. So for me, the choruses in these songs are the population sort of crying out to their new king. You ever see like a TV show where the king goes and like stands out in the balcony or whatever, and there's people in the crowd who just like shout stuff to them, like thinking they can hear him or thinking they can hear them. That's sort of what I'm getting at. That's sort of the role that I'm going for. The population or the crowd. Satan is the king, you know, looking down at his new subjects. They're trying to basically make their lives easier by praising him, but he can't hear them. He doesn't really care. What do you think about these lines? What is your opinion on the chorus?
I have some notes on this as well, yeah. But I do believe, yes, when you told me now that this is from the perspective of the followers, trying to please their master and show them forced loyalty, if you will. But I have found out that at first it was not intended to be old one in the lyrics. I don't know if you have found this as well.
I have not. Please share.
In 2015, Metal Hammer published an interview with a nameless ghoul. An interview was called A Nameless Ghoul's Guide to the New Ghost Album. It was originally Satan Master, All Beauty Lies Within. But, you know, after some advice from some higher-ups, they changed it because it wouldn't be radio-friendly. Mentioning Satan. So that's the mistake or the risk they took when they made Infestissimum, because, you know, Year Zero and Monsoon's Clock and stuff wasn't played on the radio, but it was still, you know, the most popular songs. And Old One, being of Satan, and, you know, the first mention of the devil and its first appearance in the Bible is in Genesis 3:1. So, you know, from the like the beginning of time. So that would describe him as the old one. Mm. You know, the serpent tempting man to eat from the tree in the garden. Sort of manipulating mankind and twisting their minds already then, you know. Because they eventually did eat from the apple. And I've read that it wasn't even an apple, but they ate from the tree.
I mean, it was an apple. Isn't that why we have Adam's apples, apparently?
Oh, I'm confused now.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that would describe him as the old one.
Okay.
And the master. Being now their now master.
You've got me really thinking now. It's also about the song, but have they said Satan on Meliora at all?
I don't think they have.
Yeah, I don't think they did.
To make it, you know, more radio friendly and more... Because some parts, you know, if you show a song like He Is to someone who has no idea it is Ghost, it can be sort of like a love song, you know, if you don't know it's about Satan or about, you know, sort of stuff like that.
You could even think it's a Christian song.
Like, yeah,
it was a song about God.
So yeah,
I'm genuinely curious now.
I don't believe there's any mention of Satan in word as there is on previous albums in Meliora.
Is it the same for a prequel, Emma? I wonder. I do need to go and check this out.
I do think so.
They stopped it for Kiss the Goat. You know, that's Satan, Lucifer, Oscar the Limb of Sin, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah.
But I don't know if for prequel if they said Satan.
No, I don't think they did.
I'm going to have to go look that up after the show. Oh.
Yeah, but again, beauty on the inside, all beauty lies within. I took it as, you know, Satan is not always described or depicted as, you know, as handsome as Tom Ellis in Lucifer. But his beauty is on, you know, on the inside. Maybe those are, you know, I don't know, comforting words.
Could be.
Yeah, towards the devil.
Yeah, maybe it's them trying to butter him up, curry favor with him.
Loosen him up a bit, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well researched, my friend. Well researched.
Thank you.
Well, I don't have anything else to add on that. So should we move on to the next and final verse of the song? Because after this, it's just the same lines apart from one at the end.
Yeah.
This oasis is a poisoned well of rotting carcasses that clog the deep. A prince in exile here in hell, in midst of sinners flocking up like soulless sheep. Why don't you take it from here?
Thank you. So... the oasis, an oasis is, you know, mostly described as, you know, as lush and fruitful land with green trees and pure water and stuff. And it's been said in the Bible that this is what God did. Actually, I found in Psalm 107, it is said that he turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs.
Mm.
But this oasis has been poisoned by the rotting dead that clog up the deep, so it just heaps up and, you know, poisons the water. And I had a thought about this earlier today, and that was, again, Satan taking the land to his own. And again, with the Meliora cover, you see it's like polluted and dark and clogged up and industrial and stuff like that. So where God would be, you know, almost like a gardener fixing stuff, you know, God's gardening. And that sounds like his famous store, God's Gardening. Satan doesn't do that. He just doesn't care. So
he's one of these people that get like a really nice house with a really nice garden and then like cements the back garden.
Yeah.
Because they're horrible. Why would you do that?
He lives well. He doesn't care about the others. And that makes the oasis being poisoned because of, you know, all the dead and it's not kept well and stuff like that. So that was my thought with that line, at least.
No, fantastic. We're along the similar pictures. What I have down here is that this line is a nice little picture describing what's happened to Earth, as you said. The definition of oasis is a fertile or green area in an arid region, such as a desert, or something that provides refuge, relief, or pleasant contrast. So I'm sure most people know what the oasis is. In this instance, the song is describing how the beauty of Earth, as you were referencing, whether it be actual beauty or not, because I'm still not convinced that it was good under God's rule either, has been poisoned by the arrival of Satan and the brainwashing cult of Pan. With what could be, possibly, Satan harvesting the souls of man and clogging the deep that is hell. Because obviously, eventually, hell's gonna run out of room.
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, if you've ever blocked a plug, for example, once you sort of keep trying to force things down that plug, it'll spurt up. So maybe that's what it is now that Satan basically owns Earth, owns hell, and owns everyone on Earth and hell, there's kind of just not enough room for them.
Yeah.
So he's essentially just kind of...
He's clogging hell.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Yeah, but because it's being clogged, it's coming back up to Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything that you've said. A prince in exile here in hell, in midst of sinners flocking up like soulless sheep. Again, another great image. In midst of sinners flocking up like soulless sheep sort of gives, not support, but it adds to the picture that we were just talking about. It gives me the thought in my head that the former denizens of hell, for example, the demons, etc., those who sinned under God's rule, are now moving back to earth, essentially creating hell on earth. What did you have for the other two lines?
I have some for Prince in Exile. So Satan goes, of course, by many names, one of them being the Prince of Darkness. It is a term used by the 16th century poet John Milton, I found, in the poem Paradise Lost. There he is referring to Satan as the Prince of Darkness. Mm-hmm. And we talked about, was it The Omen we talked about last time?
It was, yes.
Yeah. So in the movie, which is called, it's called The Prince of Darkness. It is the second of the Apocalypse trilogy by John Carpenter. So the first movie there was The Thing. Famous movie The Thing. Prince of Darkness is the second one, and Mouth of Madness is the third one. Mm. And in Prince of Darkness, they found like some sort of chamber with a version of the devil, like a green liquid or something, which is the embodiment of the powerful demonic being.
Okay.
Which is like, you know, goes to a host, almost finds a host, which is his version of it.
Yeah, yeah.
I just found that really cool as well. Just the thing about The Thing, the movie The Thing, I remember, because it's set in Norway, in some sort of camp. I don't remember where now, but it's set
in
Norway.
Are you sure it's set? I don't think it's set in Norway, dude. I think I don't think it is. I think it's set in the Arctic.
Yeah, with Norwegian workers. That's the thing.
Why were they all speaking English? Like they were American, dude.
I know the actors were.
Yeah,
but that's the thing, because some of the
that's the thing. Get it?
I've said that way too much now. The workers were Norwegian, but they were played by American people trying to speak Norwegian.
Oh, okay.
So it sounded really weird for us Norwegians watching that movie.
Interesting.
Because they were trying to speak Norwegian, just sounded really weird. But luckily, they made a 2011 version with Norwegian actors, famous Norwegian actors in it.
It wasn't as good.
No, it wasn't, but it sounded it sounded better.
But it wasn't as good. No, I haven't seen The Thing in a while, but I could have sworn they were Americans in the Arctic, but as you said, it could just be the actors and I'm just forgetting a detail.
I do think the main characters were Americans and speaking American, but some of the workers there in the start of the movie, ones they kill off in the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. They're not speaking. American enough to live.
No.
Yeah.
Speaking broken English Norwegian. Yeah.
Nice. What a great movie. I have nothing else to add. So shall we move on to the final three words of the song?
Yes, let's do it.
Cool. And the final three words of the song, after many repeated versions of Old One Master, All Beauty Lies Within You, is Your Infernal Majesty.
Mm.
I like the line. I like the line a lot. When you tell me what you had.
Basically, Satan, the king of hell, the master of hell, his infernal kingdom, you could say. So I don't have any much more in depth than that, actually.
It's cool. Don't worry. As I said, it's three words, so it's not a problem. No, what I've said is the final line of the song, which could be seen as either a cry of despair from the human population or a shout of victory from the former dwellers of hell, so the demons that we were referencing that was coming up to the surface of Earth, is a simple call out to the now established king of the world. Infernal is defined as of or relating to hell, and of course majesty, both the title of the song and the word that we're discussion of, means sovereign power and authority. So I'm going to say that it is a mixture of both a shout of despair from the human population and a shout of victory from the denizens of hell. What say you? I think this is just like the... Do you ever get to the end of a villain song? Like I'm thinking like Lion King, for example. And Scar has his song, and you know, like all the hyenas are like laughing as it sort of zooms out of the mountain. That's sort of what I'm picturing the demons on Earth doing at the moment.
I can hear both, because when I think about it, when you hear that line, you know, obviously there's, coming to technicals, there's Papa singing, but there's also, you know, someone else singing It's like two lines.
Mm-hmm.
So this could be both, you know, mixed in between, singing the same thing.
Yeah, agreed. And yeah. I'm glad you agree with me.
Yeah.
And with that, I think, is the end of the song and therefore the end of the episode, unless you have anything else to add?
I don't. It's been a blast as well. Thank you again, Niall, for having me back. It's the project is a really, really cool and unique project, and I am happy to have been a part of it twice now. So thank you.
No. Thank you for volunteering your time both on the show and for the research of the show, and obviously for supporting the show so much on the Facebooks and the Instagrams and just supporting it by listening to it. You know, it's much appreciated. And if I ever do decide to bust out album number 4, you'll be on the list.
Thank you. I'll be very much happy to come back as well. Yeah,
not a problem. Well, thank you very much to Stephen.
Yeah, that's me, Stephen.
No, thank you very much to Steon. Is that correct?
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you very much to Steon for joining me. And thank you guys very much for listening to another episode of The Gospel of Ghost. We will see you again next week for Absolution.
Ooh.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan.